Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to our live presentation of the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ radio show entitled, Let the Truth Be Told. We first give honor to God the Father, Abba Nahu, and to God the Son, the Almighty Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we would also like to thank them for giving us the Holy Apostle and Chief High Priest Tazadaki, the God sent Comforter, for teaching us all things and bringing back those things to our remembrance concerning him and his word, so that the truth of the word of the Almighty God can be taught again in the time that we're living in. I'm your host, 13th Shield General Kazat Powell, and today's teacher for the show is 13th Shield General Mashakiel. Hey, shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir. How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful. Glad, happy to be here.
We're glad to have you, sir. We're glad to have you. And today's reader for the show is 1 Shield General Shalomai Gabar. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm too well. I'm too well, sir. I'm doing good.
It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show with us today.
Yes, sir. Honor to be here. Thanks.
Thank the Most High in Christ. 13 Shield General Mashakiel, what is the title for your show today?
The title for my show is called The Truth About Beatitude.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting topic. Would you like to share with us a little bit about the topic?
Yes, sir, definitely. What they know today in the world is beatitude. What they call a beatitude, that word means blessings. That's Matthew's the 5th chapter, which is actually the first class. That's actually the first class that Christ taught when he came into the flesh. That was the first class he taught to the multitude of Israelites, you know, when he first came into his ministry, you know, as an adult.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the first class he taught in the flesh to a multitude of people.
Oh, that sounds exciting. So, that's going to be a good
time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be real good because we're going to be dispelling some lies out here today.
Well, that's right. That's what the show is. Let the truth be told. Right, exactly. So definitely, you said the word beatitude means blessings.
Yeah, beatitude.
Okay, so that's great. That's great. So without further ado, we're just gonna let you get into the topic.
Okay, come as, you know, anybody new listening to the show, come as just in Hebrew. It's a very important class because, like I said, that this was Christ's first class that he taught in the flesh to a multitude of people, multitude of Israelites, and Jesus Christ actually got this class from God the Father himself. God the Father actually put this class together and gave it to Christ, and he came into the flesh and taught it to us. And this class was a game changer because Satan was winning. You know, he was getting a lot of people. So when this class was taught, Satan, that's when he started to lose. And this class is so important that Jesus Christ himself, he had to come in the flesh and teach this class face to face. He couldn't give this to a prophet. He couldn't give this to Jeremiah, Ezekiel. He couldn't give this class to, like, Daniel. He couldn't get his class to Isaiah. Christ himself had to come and teach this class because it was such a bomb of a class. There's a lot of scriptures involved with that, but, you know, due to time constraints, and I'm going to just jump right into the point. We're going to start off in the scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 26. This class is also known as the Sermon on the Mount as well. You know, a lot of people know this as the Sermon on the Mount. And but a lot of people know it also as it's called beatitude, which means blessings, because that's what Christ was teaching in this chapter, was how to get blessed, what you need to do to get blessed after God the Father, you know, basically destroyed the world with the flood. You know, this class had to be scribed to teach everybody how to make it, because obviously what they're doing back then wasn't working.
Right.
So, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, that's a pretty good point. So, basically, you know, what people like to think about in the world is blessing. They like to equate that material things, houses and lands and things like that. So this is going to give us more understanding of what blessings really are.
Right, and how to get them.
Great, okay.
All right, my 1 Shield General Shalomai Gabar, Acts 3:26, please.
Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus.
So now we're talking about God the Father. I'm sorry, now we're talking about God the Father, having raised up his son, Jesus. So now why did God send Jesus to do what? Keep reading.
Send him to bless you.
Send him to do what?
To bless you.
To bless you. That's why God the Father sent Christ. One of the reasons he sent Jesus Christ was to bless us. Read.
And turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's how you get blessed. You get blessed by being right in a wicked world and turning from your iniquity. If you're not turning from your iniquity, you're not going to get blessed. And we're going to go through that later. Some people, you start to see how the people that's evil in this world, nothing's happening to them. And, you know, we're going to go through one of those blessings that deal with being meek, which is we're going to be going through like three main blessings. So that's what the understanding is based on was the first three. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. That's the main three we're going to go into today. But God the Father sent Christ to bless us, and we're supposed to turn away from our iniquities because that's how you get blessed. Don't think you're going to be evil, and in the end, you're going to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed. You're not going to get the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to get the kingdom of heaven. You're still eating pork, still smoking cigarettes and weed and doing drugs and being homosexual and lying and lusting, going to watching porn and going to, you know, strip clubs and stuff like that, just to name a few things. You're not going to be blessed. So go to 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, and verse 8. First Peter chapter 3 and 8, just to go talk more about this blessing. So that was a prophecy that God the Father sent Christ to bless us. First Peter 3 and 8, read.
Finally, be ye all of one mind.
Come on.
Having compassion one of another.
Having compassion one of another. Got to have compassion for each other. That's something that's lost in this world today. That's what brings blessings is charity. Charity is a God-inspired love. You looking out for your people, looking out for your brother. With the love of God in you. So that's something that's lost in this world today is people having compassion. People, they love themselves more than they love their own brother. Read.
Love as brethren.
Love as brethren. That's what we're supposed to do. Read.
Be pitiful.
Be pitiful. Come on.
Be courteous.
Read.
Not rendering evil for evil. Or railing for railing.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's something they mainly do in this world is what they call it, tit for tat. You do something to me, I'm gonna do it back. You treat me a certain type of way, I'm gonna treat you back the same way. No, that's not how God raised us. That's not how God raises his children. He didn't teach us to, you know, to curse each other. He told us to do the opposite, which is to bless each other. So it says not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, read. Read.
Contrary-wise,
blessing. That's what we're supposed to do. Supposed to bless each other. Come on.
Knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
That ye should do what?
Inherit a blessing.
Yeah, that's why Christ came. Christ is calling his people, the Israelites, back into the truth so you can inherit a blessing. So when Christ came in his flesh, that's the class that he was teaching us is how to inherit these blessings. Now, if we're going to go into the class, that's Matthew's the fifth chapter. Go to Matthew 5 and 1. And when you read about the, you know, the ministry of Christ, you read about how, like, you know, he was always dealing with the Pharisees and how they was always trying to trip him up in his words and interrupting him when he was, you know, teaching people, doing miracles and things of that nature. But this class right here, Matthew chapter 5, uninterrupted chapter. Angels shut all the demons down when Christ was teaching this class to make sure that he was uninterrupted when he was teaching this lesson. What we call Beatitude or the Sermon on the Mount.
That is a great point. I never realized that, sir.
Yeah. You don't read nothing about the Pharisees interrupting at all in this class.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Praise God for the truth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is there like a little lag, too? Because I kind of like... When he's reading, like, I don't know if I'm lagging.
I'm not sure. Continue teaching your class, and we'll deal with it.
Okay. All right, Matthew's 5 and 1, when you get that, please.
And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain.
So Christ, Christ saw the multitudes, you know, a big crowd. It's a big crowd of Israelites, because that's the only people that Christ came to. We're going to put that out there. Christ didn't come to everybody. He only came to the Israelites. So this class right here is only for the Israelite people. For the Israelites today, they're the blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, and North American Indians in America today. So he saw the multitude, and he went up into a mountain. Read.
And when he was set, the disciples came unto him.
So when he was set, meaning this is the moment he was waiting for. He was ready. He seen the multitude. He was waiting for this moment. Verse 2.
and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Blessed are the who?
The poor in spirit.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, they got, you got miseducation about this understanding as well, because people think that the poor in spirit is talking about somebody with one shoe off. You know, they feel they are, they in a, like a depressed state because they're seeing, you know, Ethiopian children starve, and, you know, they want to help them. Somebody save the children. You know, they feel like they, you know, they're in a poor spirit because of the way they're feeling towards other people's poverty that they see in this world, because, quite frankly, God cursed the Ethiopians, and that's why they're in poverty today. Or they think, oh, people might think the poor in spirit talk about you being poor financially. This ain't talking about financially being poor. When it says the poor in spirit, it's talking about being remorseful, being in a repentative state when you do something wrong. When you do something against God, you're supposed to feel remorseful. You're supposed to feel bad about what you did, especially if you're corrected for it. So God said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, and another scripture that we're going to go to as well, the poor in spirit, is also talk about one example that Christ used was children. They identify in the Bible as the poor in spirit. You can learn a lot from children, but we're going to go through that when we go through the scripture. Just to give an example of being poor in spirit, let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 and 36. We're going to give an example about who the poor, like an example of what it's, how to be poor in spirit, what that entails, what that looks like when somebody is poor in spirit. And then we're not going to our own mind, we're going to go to a precept. As God says, you know, let thy precept, you know, precepts get understanding, you know, therefore, King David said that. He said, I don't want to misquote it, when you read it, Psalms 119 and 104. Where it says, thy precepts, you know, I'm going to read that real quick because I don't like to misquote stuff. You ain't got to, I'm going to read it. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So we're going to go through a precept so you get the correct understanding. Go to Luke 7 and 36. Read that.
And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment.
So this right here was Jesus. Jesus had a prior encounter with this woman before. He actually delivered her from her, you know, Pharisees. You know, they brought this woman to Christ and said, you know, this woman was found in an act of adultery. What sayest thou? And, you know, after the whole discord with them and him shutting the Pharisees down, he showed this woman mercy and compassion. So, you know, you had this Pharisee that invited Christ in his house to eat. Christ came in, and this woman also knew that Christ was in his house. She came into the house as well. What did she do? Keep reading.
And stood at his feet behind him weeping.
Behind him doing what?
Weeping.
Yeah, she was weeping. Even though Christ forgave her already, she was still weeping. Why was she still weeping? Because she felt bad about the sin that she did. This shows you somebody that's poor in spirit. When you do something wrong, you're supposed to be weeping about what you did. Weeping, well, not always just weeping, but you're supposed to be sad. Or you're supposed to feel a certain type of way, like, you know, I sinned against God, my Lord. You're not supposed to sit and be proud, like, oh, whatever, you know, get over it. This is how I am. This is how I was raised. No, if you do something wrong and you get corrected according to the word of God, you're supposed to feel bad and you're supposed to change. So he stood at his feet behind him weeping, read. Read.
Hello?
Verse 38, it says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. So she was crying so much that she was actually washing the Lord's feet with her tears. How much crying did she have to do to wash his feet with her tears? A lot.
Man, how sorry was she? Yeah, they had so much tears that she was able to wipe his feet. That's a beautiful point.
Yeah, that's crazy. She was really sad about, even though he forgave her, she still felt low about what she did because she knew it was evil.
Exactly.
So verse 38, and begin to wash his feet with tears. Keep reading.
And did wipe them with the hairs of her head.
Uh-huh.
And kissed his feet.
Read.
and anointed them with the ointment.
Come on.
Now when the Pharisee, which had been in him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
So this Pharisee was saying all this in his mind. Now I'm gonna show you what we're gonna show you how God, how Christ do. Keep reading.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.
He was reading his mind the whole time. He was reading his mind.
Wow.
Simon was saying, I mean, Simon the Pharisee was saying this in his head, and he was actually Christ read his mind. He was, I got somewhat to say unto thee. Read.
And he said, Master, say on.
Come on.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors.
So Christ here, he's going to show an example. So Christ here is going to show an example of mercy. So there was a certain creditor, a creditor, somebody that, you know, loans money. And you got a debt to somebody that basically borrowed his money and they owe. Read.
And one owed 500 pence.
So yeah, one owed 500 pence, read.
And the other 50.
Come on.
And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both.
So they both couldn't pay their debt, but this creditor forgave both of them. Basically, he just, like, you know, did away with that debt. Like, you know, okay, y'all good. I'm going to forgive both of y'all. Y'all slate is wiped clean. The debt is wiped clean, Rick.
Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him most?
Come on.
Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
So he's asking a question. He's saying, you got two people that owe a debt to a creditor. One that owes 500 and one that owes 50. Who do you think is going to love him more? And he said the one he forgave most. Basically, the one that owed 500 is going to show the most love because he had the bigger debt. So that's the example he's going to show with this woman and this Pharisee. She had more sins on her. So the fact that she got the mercy that was shown unto her, she going to show more love because the sin that she had on her, she could have died. And God forgave her for those sins, those heavy sins that were on her. Christ forgave her for them. Verse 44.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet.
So he gave, So Christ came to this Pharisee's house and he didn't give him no water for his feet. He didn't show no hospitality. Cause back then, you know, they walked in the dead. Well, mainly wore sandals, a lot of sandals. So they walked around in the desert, and their feet got dirty. So one act of hospitality back then was, you know, they would wash their guests' feet or give them, you know, some water so they could wash their feet to clean their feet off. You know, nowadays we wear Jordans and Nikes and foam powders and stuff like that. Our feet really don't get dirty. But back then, their feet got dirty walking around in sand and in the dirt and stuff like that. So he didn't give him no water to wash. He didn't give him no water to the Lord to wash his feet. Read.
But she have washed my feet with tears.
Yeah, because she was so remorseful. Keep going.
And wiped them with the hands of her head.
Come on.
Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my head with oil, thou didst not anoint.
Come on.
But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which all men are forgiven. But she loved much.
Yeah, she had a lot of sins on her. So the fact that she showed much love because she had a lot of sins and God forgave her for those many sins that were on her. Now, somebody has a little bit of sense, they might not show as much appreciation as somebody that has a lot. That's the point of showing. She's still remorseful because she had a lot of sins. She committed adultery. That was an act that was punishable by death. And the Lord forgave her and said, go your way. Sin no more. So keep reading.
But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
Come on.
And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven.
Read.
And they sat, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also?
Come on.
And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace.
So she was really sorry about what she did, and she was forgiven, and she was still remorseful. That's somebody that's poor in spirit. Now, to give you another example, this is going to go to the, you know, mighty King David. Go to Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1. And Psalm chapter 51 is a prayer that puts you in a remorseful spirit and, you know, gives you the right words to say to God, you know, when you feel sorry about what you did. So when you get that Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression.
Come on.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
So you read about what David is showing you, that when you sin against God, you need to go to God and ask God for mercy. And then ask God to wash you from that iniquity and clean you from that sin. Why? So you don't do it no more. That's a being poor in spirit. It's being remorseful, but it's also you going to God and asking and crying out for help and asking him to help you not to do this evil anymore. Not to be like, oh, I repent, and then you're going to go right back to smoke a cigarette. Or I repent, and you're going to go right back to eat a ham sandwich. You're not really remorseful. You're playing games. So, verse 3.
For I acknowledge my transgression.
That's the key point. That's the key point. You got to know what you did wrong. You know if you did something wrong. You know if you broke the commandment of God. You know. Don't lie to yourself and be like, oh, you know, I don't know. No, you know if what you did was wrong. So I acknowledge my transgressions. You got to acknowledge what you did wrong. Keep reading.
And my sin is ever before me.
Yeah, you're never going to forget what you did. Even though God forgave you for it, that's what happened with the woman. She didn't forget what she did. That's why she was so sad about it, because that sin was ever before. She, you know, you're going back and looking at some of the old stuff we used to do that God forgave us for. You're like, damn, I didn't know I did that. I can't believe I did that.
Right.
You still feel kind of bad, even to this day, like, damn, that was me. You know, committing adultery, doing drugs, fornicating, stealing, selling drugs, lying. You look back on this old stuff, or you look back at your past and like, damn, I was doing that. You still feel bad. Even though God forgave you for it, you still feel bad about it. Like, you know, thank God he called me in the truth so I can get myself together so I don't die.
Right.
So if I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me, verse 4.
Against thee only have I sinned.
So you broke God's commandments, because when you sin against God. Read.
And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Come on.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
So God wants the truth to be a part of your makeup and your DNA. He wants the truth to be in you. That's supposed to, the truth supposed to be who you are as a person. That's supposed to define who you are. So to get to the point, jump down to verse 17.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise.
So that broken spirit is talking about being poor in spirit. That's what it means to have a broken spirit. It means like you did something against God. That's what God loves. If you did something against him, he's going to judge you for it, but you don't know how. And that's why you ask God for mercy. You want to ask God for mercy. This was a prayer that King David was showing us, that if you did sin against God, you could say this to God because you were in that state of mind like, dang, I went against God. And I disobeyed his commandments and I went against him. Lord, please don't let me do this again. Clean me up from this sin so I don't do it again. Another example, let's go to Matthew chapter 18 and 1. Christ defined who he identified who the poor in spirit was in the scriptures, which was children. You learn a lot from kids. You know, kids are very repentant. Like, kids, they are very remorseful. Like, when they sin, or you see them go, not sin, but, well, they sin, but you see how, I'd rather use the words more so like they be disobedient. You know, if they disobey their parents, and you correct them, they start crying. Why? Because they feel bad about what they did. Nowadays, you know, we get older, we start to get proud, and we start to, you know, start to get big-headed, and you got a little ego now, you start smelling yourself. Not children. You learn a lot from kids. Kids are very remorseful when they be disobedient. And that's a point that God wanted to know in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 and 1, read.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Come on.
And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them.
Read.
And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children,
come on,
ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Read.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child.
Yeah, you're supposed to be humble. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The same is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven.
So when you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and 1, and 2, or chapter 5 and 3, what does it say? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What did Christ say in Matthew 18? He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Basically saying the same thing. Children, they identify as the poor in spirit in the Bible. Like I said, children are very remorseful. When you correct a child, they start to cry, they start to feel bad, and they want to make right what they did wrong. And then they move on to, they bounce back and they start playing again. So go back to Matthew chapter 5. And read verse 2 again.
And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
So the poor in spirit is talking about the remorseful. Verse 4.
Blessed are they that mourn.
Blessed are they that do what?
That mourn.
That mourn. Mourn for what? Now you got people, now the Roman Catholic demon church, the popes, you know, these fake popes, they like to twist this scripture right here. They actually beat themselves so they can cry to try to fulfill the scripture right here.
Wow. Hey, General Mashaki, yo.
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask you, would you like to be a guest on another part of the show? Because we run the show on time, but it seems like you were really, really getting to the meat of your class. But the first one is blessed are the poor in spirit. You brought up some very, very excellent points about, you know, who the poor in the spirit are and what you have to do to be poor in spirit, you know, showing compassion, that charity that God inspired love. You got to be remorseful for the things that you've done wrong against the Lord our God. And that's one of the ways to get the blessing, being poor in spirit. But what we got to do is we're going to have to convene at another time so we can continue on into the class. So, you know, would you be open to coming back and sharing more with us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, a pleasure. I would love it.
So definitely, this is what we're going to do. But we're going to begin to close the show out. Again, we want to thank God the Father and God the Son for the truth of the Word of God. There's ways you can get more information. We have a website. It's called www.thecomforter.info. Also, we have truth at truth at icggjcmd.org. With this also, we have classes from Monday through Thursday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. And there's a phone number to the church, 443-294-2109. Give us a call, and there's definitely more ways to get the information. But tune in next week for the next installment of the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ radio show entitled Let the Truth Be Told. Thank you both for participating in the show. Thank you, General Mashaki.
Oh, my pleasure.
And once you're General Shalom Agabar, I appreciate your help and participating as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
So with that, we're going to close out the show. God bless you, everyone. Peace to the believers and no peace to the wicked.